Lord, we thank you again for the opportunity to come together and to hear a word from you. And Lord, we recognize that we're living in a very, very unique period in Earth's history. And Father, we come here not to hear the words of a mere mortal, to hear something tickle our ears, but rather, Father, we have come to hear a word from you. We pray, Lord, and thank you for the precious blood of Jesus that washes away our sin. How we rejoice that you saw such value in us that you are willing to take such an incredible risk. We thank you, Lord, for the robe of righteousness that Jesus offers us, for we have none, Lord, otherwise. And we thank you for the Holy Spirit, Lord, that you send to teach us and to guide us, to reprove us, and to prepare us for your soon coming. So, Lord, we pray that this service will truly be part of your plan for each one of us. May we hear your voice speaking to us. We thank you as we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Once again, the holiday seasons is upon us. The last one now is New Year's, but we're still in the Christmas week. And, you know, as we think about Christmas, what does the typical Westerner, what comes to their mind when they think of Christmas? I wonder how they do it in South Korea, actually, Christmas there. I would imagine the West is the influence there, I would imagine. Because it's Christmas is Christian-based, supposedly, anyway. Supposed to be. It's Catholic, yeah. But what does come to the mind of most Westerners? I would imagine it's holiday shopping. Getting cards. Getting gifts. Cold nights. Warm houses. Trees decorated. Lights with lights. And of course, yummy food and family gatherings and friends and music and much, much more. I believe that for most people in America and in the West, when they think of Christmas, that's what comes to their mind. But for those who have given their lives to Jesus Christ and know their Bibles and appreciate the risk that heaven took for their redemption, Christmas means something entirely different. It's a time to contemplate the greatest gift that was ever given. And it was given to humanity when heaven emptied its vaults and poured out all it could in the one gift of God's dear Son. And don't you think that's something joyful to consider during this holiday season? And yet, there seems to be something different about this year's holiday season. There seems to be a shadow hanging over it. I believe the shadow that we see is a shadow of uncertainty of what the coming year will bring. People today are concerned about a lot of legitimate things. You know, it's really interesting. We're living in a time in Earth's history when men and women recognize that we're on the verge of a monumental crisis. There are a number of things people are concerned about. One of them is the uncertainties created by the presidential impeachment. What does this mean? Where is this going? Concerns about the upcoming presidential race. How many of you have been hoping for a number of decades now that the next president will be a good one, that things will get better? But things seem to be getting worse. Is it just me or is anybody else noticing that? People are concerned over the ongoing dismantling of the U.S. Constitution and the Bill of Rights. If you are not subscribed to Liberty Magazine, it is now time to do so. You need to be paying attention to what's happening to our constitutional rights because they are being eroded right out from under us. But America is too busy tracking who's going to be in the World Series to be paying attention to what's happening, that it's happening. People are concerned over the frail global economic situation that is confronting our world. Many of you remember the meltdown in 2008. Has anyone paid attention that our current situation is the same or worse now than it was then? Anybody paying attention? And the next time this hits us, it may not be a meltdown, it may be a collapse. Do a little research and find out what's the difference between the two. But this is very real. And people are recognizing, thinking men and women are tracking this. They recognize these things. Or perhaps it's the world's delicate environmental situation, as scientists are recognizing massive animal die-offs that they can't explain. Of course, pollution and global warming. Let me share something with you regarding global warming. It's real, but I don't believe it is what we're being told it is. Brothers and sisters, the Spirit of God is being withdrawn from our world as people are rejecting. He doesn't leave his own people. But as the world is rejecting him, God is a gentleman and affects the choices of humanity. But with the unraveling that we are seeing in our biosphere is a result of this. I don't know how many of you were aware that this summer, on July 4, it was warmer in Anchorage, Alaska, than it was in Miami, Florida. There's a tremendous amount of changes. We're so busy in our own little world that we're not aware of what's happening to our world. But people are, and they're concerned. There are those that are concerned about the moral free fall that is pulling down our nation and our world. And if you are a historian, you'll know that the great civilizations of the past, before they experienced collapse, they first experienced a moral collapse. We are quickly heading in that direction. The human race is losing its moral compass. And then there's the racial tension that is mounting in our country. Many thought that the Civil War and the riots of the 60s took care of all that. Think again. I don't know how many of you are aware, but during the Civil War, there were approximately 3 to 4 million slaves in America, those dear souls, and that were finally set free. But are you aware that right now there are between 21 to 31 million in our world that are slaves? Were you aware? And much of them slaves to lust. I won't go into details there. But that's the reality of our world right now. Others are concerned about the political intensity gripping the nations. And I can go off there. Or the increased occurrence of and severity of destructive weather events that is taking place globally. Or I can talk about the latest or the increase in natural disasters, earthquakes, volcanic events, floods, fires. The list goes on. I can talk about the latest disease that is threatening civilization, or the increase in senseless crime and violence as the world faces another mass shooting, or the raging of the latest war. This year's Christmas season seems to have a shadow over it. Is it just me? Do you see it? Do you sense it too? As the citizens of our planet consider these matters, a question seems to be welling up from within humanity. What does this all mean? Where is this all going? This is a good question to be asking. And thinking men and women are asking. The irony is that I find more people who are non-Christians concerned with this than people that are Christians. And is it me or is anybody else picking up on that? Strange. I believe that the answer, however, to this question is found in an event that took place 2,000 years ago, and that event is the birth of Christ in the city of Bethlehem. And let's revisit our text this morning, because in it we find a clue to the question many are asking. And in Genesis, did I skip one? Oh, Galatians 4, 4 and 5, it says, "But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoptions as what? As sons. And you know, the first message of hope of a coming Redeemer was actually given in Eden. You know, I know the records of what took place exactly in heaven when the news came that the human race had fallen. The evidence, my friends, was that the situation was hopeless. The wages of sin is death. But our amazing Redeemer stepped into and offered himself as a ransom for the fallen race. And so God had encouraging news for Adam and Eve that day in the garden. And this was the first message of a coming Savior. Genesis 3:14-15, the Lord said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, and above every beast of the field, and upon thy belly shalt thou go, and shalt thou eat all the days of thy life, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman. There's hope. We're not completely under his control. I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise what? His heel. And with that, Adam and Eve understood that one day God would send his Son to be born into his creation, to become subject to the very creation he had made, and join the human family in an effort to redeem them. And God gave them the sacrificial system for them to understand that he would give his life for us. And so they waited. Can you imagine Adam and Eve how excited they were when they gave birth to their first son, hoping he would be the one? What a disappointment. When they discovered not only was he not the one, but he would become the world's first murderer, as he killed his own son, his own brother. And so the centuries passed, and the Redeemer had not come. You know, I've learned something about God. He's never early. He's never late. But he's always on time. And God had a time. He had a reasoning for his timing of things. In Isaiah 55:8, we read, my thoughts are what? They're not your thoughts, nor my ways your ways. Can you say amen to that? Aren't you glad that God's ways are not our ways? His ways are better, aren't they? God had, in fact, selected a time. My friends, the Lord does nothing prematurely. But seeing the end from the beginning, he waited until all was ripe for the unfolding of his plan. And when the time was right and was ready, he sent his Son. You know, we have to remember that the plan of salvation isn't just to save humanity. That the rebellion broke out in heaven, in God's own backyard. The book of Isaiah 14 and Ezekiel 28 tell us this. And so the onlooking universe has questions too. And so in the plan of salvation, God is seeking to inoculate the universe so that the problem of sin will never manifest itself again. I'm so thankful that we serve a God that's actually interested in what we're thinking. That what we think matters to him. That registers large on my radar screen. It mattered to him. God had a time. And so when all needed lined up, the great clock of time struck, and Jesus was born in Bethlehem, thus the words, when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son. But what were the events that determined that the time had come? Have you ever thought about that? What lined up? What were the things that made him full? Fullness implies that certain things had to happen before Christ could come, but what were those things? We're going to take a look at some of those things that had to line up before the Lord can come, because in that we're going to find the answer to our question, what does this all mean? So what were the things? We're going to look at a few things this morning. Oops. Okay. the first that the nations were united under one government. We have to go and take a look at the framework here, what was happening in the time of Christ when he came. The nations were united under one government. Pagan Rome ruled the known world. And this is rather interesting because this brought political stability to the area, which would allow for the spreading of the gospel much easier. The second thing we learn about this time period is that one language was widely spoken and was recognized as the language of literature, economics, politics. What was that language? It was Greek. This is also an advantage that all the nations recognized this because this opened the borders and again would allow for the spreading of the gospel. Third is that men, during this time, the system of paganism was losing its hold upon the people. Men were tired of display and fable. You know, we people like a big splash, but at the end of the day, it leaves you as empty as you were when the day started. Humanity was becoming more and more degraded to the point that life just didn't mean that much anymore. People were pursuing pleasure to the point that they were numbed by it. They longed for something that would satisfy the human heart. It's interesting that many of these Gentiles were actually looking for something better. They were looking wistfully to heaven. And you know, God did not hang them out to dry. We have record that many of these civilizations were actually communicated in visions and dreams that God was giving them hope that there was a Redeemer coming. Were you aware of that? I fully am convinced that the three wise men that would show up at Mary and Joseph's doorstep, they were Gentiles from the East. And the evidence is that somehow they hold the Jewish scriptures, that they had been translated, because when they saw that star, they knew what it meant. They were studying the scriptures. Sadly, the people of God weren't doing the same. It's just sad that as these people were looking and wanting answers, the irony and the sadness is that at the same time, those that knew God were departing from. They were drifting from God's word, and they were looking for a deliverer of their own creation. It wasn't a deliverer from sin. They were looking for a deliverer that would free them from Rome. And yet, there were other faithful few who were actually studying their scriptures. Their faith was strengthened by dwelling upon God's word, more specifically upon his prophecies. And in the book of Daniel, in the 490-day prophecy, that prophecy actually pinpointed the year when the Messiah would manifest his presence. And so those who understood that prophecy recognized the time was coming. There's another prophecy, though, that's rather interesting. And it's found in Genesis 49, verse 10. It said, the scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet until Shiloh come. And Shiloh, of course, being one of the terms in describing the Messiah. And so basically what this prophecy was saying was predicting that Israel as a nation would eventually lose her sovereignty and her place among the of the world. And so those who recognize this prophecy recognized in Christ's day the decline of Israel as a nation. They were under Roman rule, they had a puppet leader, and they recognized that they were not far from losing their place in the sisterhood of nations of the world. So those that knew this prophecy knew the Messiah had to be on the ground because it was not going to be around much longer. And then the last thing that was taking place during that time is the fact that Israel's dispersion amongst the nations strategically placed them where, again, the gospel would spread quickly. You see, it was the unfolding of these events that ushered in the coming Redeemer. When the scripture says, when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, this is what had to line up. Jesus came right on time. It was when things were at their worst that God sent forth his best. It's when the world was at its darkest that God sent forth his light. Okay, Pastor. So how's the question? Well, let's bring it down to our day. Let's see how this answers the question, what does all this mean? But let's first consider something the wisest man that ever lived, an observation he made in Ecclesiastes 1:9. He said, that which has been is what, friends? What? That which is done is what will what? Be done. And there is nothing new under the sun. So let's revisit what had to happen the first time. And let's bring it more to our day. Once again, my friends, there is a power working to unite the governments of the world together. Only this time, it's not pagan Rome, it's papal Rome. For those of you who may not be aware, you need to be studying, paying attention to a summons that the Pope has made to the leaders of the world that will be taking place in May. And this summons, of course, is a concern over what's happening to our biosphere. Okay? People are really concerned about what's happening in our world. And it's over that. The problem is that the solution is problematic. And he mentions his encyclica. Do a little research on the encyclica. And the encyclica it shares as the solution is that what he needs to do is recognize Sunday as God's day to worship him. That one is going to be problematic. But there is now a movement in this direction. There's much more I can share on that. Once again, one language is spoken and recognized as the language of international economic and educational power. What language is that today? It's English. Just uniting our world. Once more, the system of paganism or secularism is losing its hold upon the people. People today want something real. Something that satisfies the inner longing of the human heart. Once more, there are souls out there who are looking for light. They are filled with perplexity. You know, having gone to Cuba, the Dominican Republic, spreading the gospel, it is amazing to watch people coming to it. They're just waiting for someone who's willing to share it. And in canvassing, I can put you up here and give you the next hour, Sydney, couldn't I? And you can share how many people have, when they came to the door, said, God sent you. Because they were longing. They were longing. There are people out there that are longing for more and better. And sadly, during this time, much of the Christian world is fast departing from God. They are preaching another gospel today, one that will save you in your sins versus one that will save you from them. And yet, they're more into the entertainment of this world than into God's word. The Christian world today is entertaining itself to death. And yet there are a faithful, steadfast few. We will call them the remnant, if you will, who are looking heavenward. Their faith is strengthened by studying God's word, more specifically, God's prophecy. The prophecies of Daniel, Revelation are of particular interest. I'm really excited to see that this next quarter is going to be on the book of Daniel. You see, they see that humanity is becoming more and more degraded. Vile lust, violence rules the minds of men. Our world is fast becoming like the antediluvian world and like Sodom and Gomorrah, just like Jesus said it would. These faithful few recognize the waning power of the United States of America, the two-horned lamb-like beast of Revelation 13. And brothers and sisters, study your prophecy carefully. There is no other world power that arises after this nation. This is it. And the fact that economically, morally, and politically, we're in a downward spiral is telling us something. This is it. We are watching the American democratic experiment unraveling before our eyes. We're watching it happen. And once more, God's people are scattered throughout the world. I don't know if you're aware of this, by the way, but the Seventh-day Adventist has an official presence in 205 of the 237 nations around the world. Where they don't have a presence, they're not allowed in. It is a death sentence to be a Christian in these nations. There are young people, Sydney's age, Josh's age, that are part of a program called the Waldensian Project. How many of you have heard of that? You've heard of Waldensian. Two of you have. Three. And what it is young people going to universities to get a degree, but they're actually missionaries undercover. And if they get caught, it'll cost them their lives. And you won't hear about it, by the way. We also have radio that's being broadcasted in. And on the internet, we're getting amazing stories of people giving their lives. And by the way, a lot of these people are being mowed down right now who are giving their lives to the Lord. I don't know if you're aware. You know, we keep, you know, the Bible talks about end time persecution, and we keep talking about it like it's sometime in the future. It's time to wake up. Yeah, people are just getting, I won't even tell you the scenes that I have seen. Yeah. We need to be praying for them, friends. We need to be praying for our brothers and sisters out there. Once again, my friends, what I'm trying to tell you is that all is right for the execution of God's plan. It's time for Jesus to return. So that's the answer to the question, what does this all mean? The shadow that is being cast over us this Christmas season is the shadow of an approaching God. That's what that is. And quite honestly, I'm looking forward to that. How about you? So during this holiday season, let us not forget that soon there will be no more death, nor sorrow, no crying. There will be no more pain, for the former things will be passed away. Why? Because when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, and He's about to do it again. But this time, it's to bring to sin and suffering, and to take His children home. And that's something worth contemplating, don't you think? My hope, during this season especially, is that we will recognize the opportunities the Lord is presenting us to share this with others. So as we visit with family and friends, we know something they're dying to know. And let's make sure to share it.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. International copyright, all rights reserved. Free listening of this message and over 7,000 other presentations by more than 100 speakers on 50 different topics is now available on our American Christian Ministries mobile app for Android and Apple devices, and on our secure website. You may also order presentations online at AmericanChristianMinistries.org or call 800-233-4450. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help to prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He's coming soon.